This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Let's talk about the weather. What is going on? It's up, it's down, it's all around.
Yeah, we got up into the 80s earlier in the week, and then I hear that over the next couple of days, things are going to start to change drastically. And then I think like Monday and Tuesday, we'll be lucky if we hit 40.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That doesn't sound too good to me.
No, especially now. Normally at this time of year, we should be around 65. So that would be normal. So, you know, when we're up near 80, that's way above what it should be. However, we enjoyed it.
I certainly did. I'll just be honest. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I do not love it when it drops back down in the 30s and 40s.
No, that's no good. Especially when to go that far above normal to that far below normal, it's really a disaster on our psyche.
Yes, I mean, our body doesn't know how to handle it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and now that we're into March, you know, now we have like spring fever on the brain, we have Easter on the brain, and we think, ooh, it's March, this is when it starts to get warm. And then we get hit with 40 degrees next week, and it's going to be brutal.
I believe it will.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think. I don't know, you know, how we're going to survive.
This is how we all get sick.
That's exactly right. That and little bitty children. They just make us sicker than heck.
Little bitty children. Yeah, now that's true.
Little bitty children have every germ known to man.
Yes, they touch everything, and then they lick their fingers, and then they come near us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I get near them and I get sick every time. I try to not do it, but it just doesn't work. I mean, I get near little children and I catch whatever they've got.
Yeah. We should probably quarantine toddlers until June.
Yes. If we could quarantine those sweet little babies, we wouldn't get anything. We'd just be well all the time. I mean, you know.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully we'll be in for some warm. Now, you know what's going to happen. We say this now, and then in like 6 weeks, it'll turn like 150, and then it'll be like that for the next 8 months, and we'll say, my goodness, I wish it was back down into like 40.
Let me tell you something. I'm the only one in Texas that during the summer is completely happy. You know, everybody will say, oh, my gosh, it's 106. I'll say, oh, really? I hadn't noticed. Yeah. I mean, you know, because I'm always... just fine with it.
Yeah.
But nobody else is. I mean, summer is my time of year because I love the heat.
Yeah. Well, then you're in the right place then for that.
That's right. It just never seems that hot to me.
Yeah.
But it does to everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, we better give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is Your Money with Fay Bagby. It's all about learning how to grow your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early. And I think that's really the key here. It's about learning how to grow your money. And it's very easy. It's not something that takes a whole lot of time. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. It doesn't take any kind of special knowledge, because you're here to take care of all the expert parts of it. You know the numbers, you know what to do, you have the experience, you'll handle all that. All that people on this side have to do is get started. And you always say that procrastination is always the biggest hurdle.
It is. If you procrastinate long enough, you won't have time to get enough money together for you to retire. So if a person can quit procrastinating, get on it, You know, if you're 45, you've got plenty of time. But if you're 55 years old, you know, you don't have that much time. Because we don't know. Something can happen. You might have to retire at 60 or 59.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to have enough money to retire on and to live the way you're living now. Nobody wants to go backwards.
No.
You know, if you have to start saying, oh, well, we've got to give this up, we've got to give that up, what in the heck? It's not worth it. You want to go forward and live just like you're living now. You want everything paid for. If you're 50 years old, you should have your house paid for, your credit cards not maxed out but paid, your pickups, your cars should be paid for. I only know a couple of people that are living above their means. And, you know, I made the mistake of telling the gentleman that I didn't think he could afford to be leasing that BMW. I said, you're not working, and you've got a limited amount of cash. Oh, yes, but he says, you know, what would people think? I said, nobody gives a darn. You know, you're the one that's going to suffer when you run out of money. But people sometimes do not want to hear about that. They just want to go on in this rose-colored world they're living in.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think people think about the here and now. They don't really think too far ahead, because they think, well, it's not fun. Or they'll say, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. Or, well, yeah, but as soon as I buy this or as soon as I pay that off, then I'll, you know, once I get over that hurdle, then I'll go ahead and start, you know, saving. Because saving means that you're not spending, and people have this thing about spending all the time, and when they're in the right here and now, it's that feeling of, oh yeah, I've got this great car, like the gentleman with the BMW. What will people think if I'm not driving this, or you know, if I don't have, you know, the fanciest suit, or if I don't have the latest greatest gadget, or if I don't have, you know, the biggest TV, or whatever the case may be. People think that they have to have all these things, but what they do is they end up blowing all of their wealth early, and then there's nothing left on the back end. And I know some people who say, well, I may not even make it to then, so why not just enjoy it now, you know?
Well, they're being short-sighted, because if you say, look, I know I'm going to live 20, 25 years. You don't want to live that broke. You want to have a good retirement. You want to have money in the bank. You want to have, you know, enough income coming in off interest off your money where you can just coast along.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of clients that have retired this last year. They're doing great because we've set aside money all the time to earn interest. In other words, we're still earning interest on every dollar they've got. A client called me yesterday. He said, Faye, what do you think about me retiring? And I go, well, gosh, how old are you? He said, I'm 61. I said, well, how do you feel? Do you think you want? He said, I'd like to do something other than what I'm doing. He owns his own company, but he's tired of it. But he might like to stay at working, but do something else. Maybe something that he's always wanted to do. And I think if you're that age and you say, you know, I don't really want to retire, I want to do something fun, they should do it. You know, and then they'll live longer, they'll be happier, and besides, they'll make more money if you're happy.
Yeah. Well,
and so, you know, you just never know what's the best thing for somebody to do if they've always just done one thing.
And the important thing is to be able to have that option. So, you know, like this gentleman, he's 61. He may want to retire. If he's got the money there, if he's done the right thing, if he's been responsible for several years, he's got the funds to be able to do that if he wants to. Or if he just wants to take another job, maybe sell the business, maybe go work for somebody else where the pressure isn't all on his shoulders. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, you've got to have the money there to be able to even have those options.
That's exactly right. And a lot of my clients, when they've retired, you know, they've moved to the lakes. They've moved other places other than Midland. And they're just happy as they can be because we've got income coming in for them all the time. You know, they've told me how much a year they've got to have. We've put this money aside. And then they're earning interest on their money every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've got several clients that this last year, they made in interest close to $100,000 in interest.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you can manage to make, you know, $80,000 to $95,000 a year in interest, you know, you're not going to run out of money. You're going to have enough money every year, you know, to do what you want to do. You can travel, and a lot of people, as soon as they retire, they're going to travel for the first 2 years, which is great. Then you get tired of traveling, then you may want to live out at the lake, you know, different things. You never know what all appeals to them. A lot of people bought a small ranch, or they bought a little small farm, you know, 30 acres, something small. Then a lot of people bought something large, you know, a big ranch. So you never know what appeals to people. Some people, I have one client that's bought a ranch out at Del Rio, of all places. That's the end of the world.
Wow.
Now, you talk about scrub, you know, there's nothing out there. You talk about desert. Del Rio is the most desert place in the world, unless you go out to Lake Amistad. But I can't imagine retiring there.
Wow.
And a lot of people say, yeah.
They must not want to have a whole lot of neighbors then. Want to be left alone.
No, they're not interested in the neighbors or, you know, things like this. But a lot of people need friends around them, you know. And so they're going to retire somewhere like on a lake or a golf course where they can play golf every day, or they can go to the lake every day. Some people will retire like Pecan Plantation, you know, down there by Fort Worth, Dallas, and Granbury, where you can retire on the golf course, and you've got the lake also. So you've got the best of every world. You can do anything you want. And a lot of people are not city people, especially if they're from here. They're not going to go and move into a large city because they would be out of their element. You know, they wouldn't enjoy it. But I've had more people this year retire to golfing and lake communities.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what they really want.
Well, it sounds like fun. It sounds peaceful. It sounds like you've really, you know, once you've hit that stage, you've really hit that golden place where, yeah, I've worked all these years. I'm going to enjoy what I've done and just kind of take it easy now. And this is when I get the payoff. And I think a lot of people lose sight of the actual payoff because they're so stuck in the right here and the right now. They think for some reason, well, you know, gosh, if I plan, if I invest, if I do all these things, you know, then it takes away something from what I have right now. It's boring. It's not fun. They can't think about those things, or maybe they are thinking about those things, but it's just not something that becomes a priority. So when people do finally, you know, decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to start, you know, doing the responsible thing. I'm going to start investing. I'm going to start growing my money. I'm going to start, you know, building my wealth so that I can retire. Do you find that when they come talk to you for the first time, there's been some kind of event that has caused them to have that shift in attitude?
Well, I think they're a year older, maybe 2 years older, or their wife's been talking to them. And she's saying, you know, we really need to do this. We need to get more conservative, you know. We don't need to take all that risk. And, you know, that's what a lot of people do. And, you know, the stock market especially, you know, as you get older, most people want to get out of it. They don't want that extra risk coming in, facing them all the time.
Yeah.
And we know that there is a lot of risk in that.
There really is, especially, you know, with things the way they are right now. We know how everything can affect the stock market. And so people are looking for something, you know, where they don't have to be up in the middle of the night wondering if they literally have anything left. It's like people are retiring on a hope and a prayer with the confidence and the predictability of the wind. And that's really a scary thing. And I think as people get closer to retirement, they realize, wait, my recovery time, if something does happen in the stock market and I lose everything, my recovery time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Because when you start out, you may have 20 years to retire. And maybe you can afford to lose it, maybe you can't, whatever, but you have more time to make it good. And as you get close to retirement, that window starts to close. And I think people start to look at it and say, well, I've kind of, you know, I've blown a lot right now. I went out and had fun. I vacationed. I built this house I didn't need, or whatever the case may be. And so they're looking for something a little bit more conservative. And this is a chance for people to get involved with a life settlement, which is exactly what we're talking about. Not only is it a little bit more conservative, but it's well-informed. It's a much safer type of investment. And I think people start to realize this as they get closer to retirement.
Well, I think so. They realize it is conservative, that we're not going to make them rich. We're never going to promise them that. And, you know, it takes, you know, 2 to 3 years every time for a policy to come due on an average. Now, a lot of these policies, they come in early, 6 months, 2 months. But usually, you know, we're telling them it's a 24-month policy. It's not going to come due till 24 months, mm-hmm. or maybe 30 to 36 months. It may be a three-year policy. But they will come due. You do get paid. You get your principal, and you always get your interest. A lot of investments in life, you're not guaranteed to get back your principal or even your interest. You know, the stock market for 18, people lost a lot of money. You know, it was up and down all year, but I've talked to several people. They didn't make a dime in 18. It actually lost money on a whole for 18. So, you know, even the large investors lost a lot. Oprah Winfrey, you know, is involved in Weight Watchers, owns a lot of that. And, you know, she lost a ton of money this week. They talked about it, you know, about how much she lost. So, you know, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she got into Weight Watchers. And I saw this. She owns like 10%, I think, of the company. And it's the amount of money that just 10% can lose somebody is crazy. And so, you know, you take somebody like Oprah or something something that's been around for a while, like Weight Watchers, if people can lose money in things like that, well, then, geez, you know, there's so many other variables that can affect people's wealth. And I think when they come to see you for the first time, they finally realize, and it takes an investment or two before they realize, oh, wait a minute, I can relax. I can just sit back. I just need to just get in, and then basically, and I know this is oversimplifying a little bit, but it really is true. The bottom line is you wait for a life insurance policy to mature and you get paid.
It's a pretty simple process. We buy the policies, we offer it to our clients, they come, they get in it, they make the money, and we go on to the next one. Someone asked me yesterday, what percent of your clients have got IRAs? Almost 80-90% all IRAs. And, you know, we're managing now $89 million.
Wow.
$89 million. We just added it up.
That's impressive.
$89 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for West Texas, I think that's a lot of money for, you know, our size company.
Jeez, for anybody, that's a lot of money. Wow.
So I talked to a guy the other day that manages $2
billion. Wow.
I mean, you know, we're just a small person in a small stream compared to those guys on Wall Street.
Uh-huh.
But we were talking about, you know, what they were charging and what their fees were on those mutual funds and all this. And a gentleman called me. His brother has money with us. And he called me and he said, I looked at the mutual fund deal that I could do, but he said their fees were too high. And I said, I know how much their fees are. And he said, but I want to go with y'all. You know, my brother has his money with you, and I want to put my money with you. So, you know, that's the way it works sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They look at those fees, and a lot of people don't look at them, and they get caught up in those high fees. But if you look at the fees, then you say, if I lose money in the market, and then I've got the fees to pay, it's not a win-win situation.
Yeah, it could very easily wipe somebody out in a heartbeat.
It could wipe you out before you hardly get started.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I always tell people, I got out in 08 before the crash. I've never went back. I will never go back to the stock market because I can't afford a loss. Yeah?
What was it about 08 before the crash that threw up red flags to you? Did you have a gut feeling or did you see something
happening?
I did.
Everything in the market told me there is fixing to go sideways. You cannot afford the loss. You cannot afford this to happen. And so I cashed everything in. I had a large client that I am the trustee of their estate, and she called me. She said, Faye, what do you intend to do? And I said, I intend to cash you out in the next 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I did. Yeah. And she had $2 million in the stock market. We got her out. I've made money for her ever since. All the years she was with me, she made a lot of money because we had it in different things. We had it in life settlements. I had it in annuities. She had a lot of annuities. And those annuities really paid off over a 10-year period. So she never lost any money. And when she passed away, her estate was worth, you know, several million dollars.
Wow.
And it's gone to good causes. And she would really be proud of how her estate ended up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And see, that's the really, I guess, the important part about a life settlement is that you're going to be, when you look at this over the long term, the trajectory is always going to go up. I mean, you may have some policies that go over. You may have to deal with that. You may have to deal with a few things. But as far as the negative downsides of doing a life settlement compared to the downsides of being in Wall Street, it's just a no-brainer, because when it comes down to it, there are a ton of risks on Wall Street. But with a life settlement, there are three risks, and I want to say that they're relatively small when you compare them to the stock market.
I think they are relatively small. The biggest risk of all is if it goes over. If you're diversified, it will not hurt you. If it's the only policy you've got, you know, it'll hurt till it comes due. But if you're diversified like you ought to be and you've got several policies, it'll always come out. You will have some that's generating income right now. Those other three or four may not, but they will come due. You will get paid. You will get your interest on it. Someone told me this week, they got a bill from us for $11.92. I mean, we shouldn't even have billed that, I don't think. But every once in a while, there'll be a policy that it is really, really low.
Wow.
And we've got those old ones that we talk about all the time. And that one came due, Simpson came due 2 weeks ago, thank the Lord. And now we're just waiting on those other three, and we'll be through with this once we get those done.
You know, and when you throw out numbers like, you know, people had to pay $11.92, when you're looking at a 24-month policy, and I'm just throwing out random numbers here, but a 24-month policy, 1% a month, $100,000 minimum, you're looking at $24,000 profit if it comes due on time. To pay $11.92, it's almost laughable. It's hard to call that a risk. I know we have to, you know, because you're so transparent about all this, but considering that is the main risk with a life settlement, and I know premium amounts can vary, so I mean they can go up to, you know, a little bit more than that, but that is a real life example of what somebody would have to pay if a policy goes over, in this case $11.92.
Yes, and we've got a lot that are $300 a quarter, you know, $500 a quarter, lots of more, but we've done real good on our premiums in the last 2 or 3 years. They are a lot smaller than it used to be, because the deal now is we will not buy a policy if the premium's over 3.5% of the policy face amount. We're just not going to do it. So that way we know that the premiums will never be high for the client.
So that way you're making sure you're almost you're ensuring that when you do the numbers and you see these things, you know, if it's relatively within that scope, you know, the pluses and minuses, you know, if it goes over this much, it'll be this much, and you're looking at these percentages and you're running these numbers and you're massaging the whole policy, and you're looking at it, and if it starts to eat into too much of the profit, you're just not going to do it, because the whole goal is to make money. It's not just to break even or lose money. You want to make sure that there's a significant profit margin.
That's exactly right. And it takes care of that problem by saying, okay, if the premium's over 3.5%, we pass. Even though it's a good policy, we're not going to take the risk. We're not going to put somebody else's money at risk also that they would have a high premium. So, you know, over the years, we've changed everything again and again and again to make it better. And we make sure that everybody's diversified, where this will come out good for them in the end, where they'll make money more than they would any other place else, I hope. I know it's a conservative investment. We know that a percent will come in on time. We know a percent are going to be late, and then there'll be a percent that's going to come in early. Like in December, we had $9 million in maturities. And that's a lot. I mean, to me it is.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people cash in on policies in December. So we think that's pretty good.
That is great.
And I'm just waiting for the next round.
Yeah, well, yeah, really. I mean, it's like that last year was a good year. I think last year we talked about how the year before, 2017, was a good year. And it looks now like 2019 is already shaping up to be a good year. So, you know, you're looking at these risks. You're looking at what the profit margin is. You're looking at, you know, any premiums people may have to pay. That's the biggest risk right there is if it goes over, they have to pay those premiums. But there's two other risks involved with a life settlement.
That's right. You've got the risk that it's not liquid. But now everybody with us knows going in, this is not liquid because remember, you are buying into a life insurance policy. So it can't be liquid till that person dies, till that policy matures. Then it becomes liquid again. And then if you need to take money out, you can. If it's an IRA, of course, you're going to want to just roll it over and keep going. If you need money for a new pickup or something, you know, you can take that much money out. I've seen more new pickups in Midland, Texas in the last month than I ever saw in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And all of them are white, and they're beautiful pickups. And I don't know if they're company-owned, if they're individual-owned. I have no idea, but they are pretty. I just have to mention that. You know how I am about cars and pickups.
Yeah, they are pretty.
They are gorgeous. Anyway, I wanted to mention that. And they were all different. They were Fords. They were Rams. Yeah, but I was shocked that they were all white.
Yeah.
That they were very, very nice.
Well, and that's one of the advantages of being in one of the hottest economies, you know, really, not only in the country, but I would venture to say probably in the world as well, is that, you know, there is all this money coming in. And this is the time that people can take some of that. You know, if they have some, quote unquote, extra money, or if they're doing very, very well, yeah, go ahead and live your life. But take a portion of it and start, you know, thinking about your future, investing in yourself, investing in your retirement. Let that money grow, because it just doesn't make any sense to take some money and then not have your money make more money. I mean, it's easy. You don't have to do anything. It's not like you have to go get 3 and 4 jobs. It's like your money is doing the work for you, not you actually yourself. So those are the two risks right there, is the premiums go over and it's not liquid. And that third risk is...
Well, the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went broke. And as I've always said, in Texas, we've never had one, you know, that this has happened.
Yeah.
We've always had, every company has always paid their claims. That's the first thing you've got to pay is your claims. And, of course, their premium income in America is staggering. It is staggering what people pay to life insurance companies for premiums for their life insurance. So they have a tremendous income. And the only ones that have ever gotten in trouble, somebody's bought them up so fast, you know, nobody else had a chance. I mean, it went fast. And so, what people don't realize, they are regulated much tighter than a bank is.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, like you've said many, many times, is there's so much money in these companies. Somebody would come in and buy it up. So it's almost like there's a backup plan for the backup plan's backup plan. It's like if a company...
I think there is always a backup plan on an insurance company.
It is a risk, and people need to know that, but it's almost, I want to say, far-fetched that one of these companies would go out of business. It's just because... there's always a safety net there. And so it's great that you're this transparent and you let everybody know. And it's important that they do know. However, when they sit there and say, okay, well, those aren't really that big of a deal because I've been in the stock market for 20 years. I know the risks. I felt the risks in 2008. They came to bite me. I'm up in the middle of the night wondering if I have anything. My health is going downhill. I'm anxious all the time. I'm nervous, wondering if I'm going to be able to retire at all. So they look at that scenario, and then they look at these three risks. They've got to be saying, Faye, why didn't I do this earlier?
A lot of people do say that to me. And a lot of people come in and tell me what they've made with this in the last 4 or 5 years, and sometimes I'm absolutely shocked.
Yeah.
Because I've been looking at year-end statements in the last week to see what people made. And I'm shocked at, you know, how well they have done. And then, of course, I've got the people that say, okay, I want to put this much in my account. You've got to keep it at that amount. So we have to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And keep their income up all the time. Where if they have an emergency, they've got the money to cover it.
Exactly. And the way this whole plan works is that you do. You have all these different, quote-unquote, piles of money. You know, there's money for people to live on. There's money for people to invest. And so there's all these different, accounts or like we simplify it, piles of money for people to get where they need to be, not only to get to retirement, but after they're there, they'll want to keep growing their money because you don't want to just stop the day you retire. You know, that's not how it works. To be responsible, you need to keep growing. And so that's how this whole thing works. The plan is to be well diversified over several years. This is not just a one and done, you know, invest in one policy and then boom, you're ready to retire. No. You do this for several years. You're in several policies. Some are maturing. Some are you're getting into some new policies, some become available. And so there's ebbs and flows. There's always things that are going on. It's a very fluid type of scenario. But you do this over several periods or several years, and people can get to where they need to retire. That's how the big picture works.
That's exactly right. And everybody wants to retire. Let's face it. That's everybody's goal. It's like a horse getting out of a barn. You know, you're running free, and that's what everybody wants. They want to be able to run, to play. They want to be young enough to still do things. They don't want to be old. Nobody wants to do that. So if you can do the things you want to do and your health holds up, you know, it's going to be a great retirement. You're going to be happy. You're going to have money to do things. And it's going to be like a kid. You know, you can do anything you want once you retire.
You know, and I would think, and this just crossed my mind, I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but I would think, you know, somebody in their 40s or even their 50s who's not retired, who's been, you know, involved in the program for a while, and they've been doing this, they've been building their money, I would think that it has to just, even when they're still working, I would think it would have to calm their nerves knowing that they've been able to grow their money as much as they have, because we've all seen the numbers. People have been able to grow their money. And so they've got that nest egg there. So even if say, you know, at age 52, when somebody is still in the workforce, if some kind of emergency were to come up, they've got the money there. I would think that's got to be satisfying and comforting.
I think so, too, because everybody wants to be sure that anything that happens, they can cover it, that they, you know, they've got the money, the resources, that they're in good shape. And thank goodness, everybody that's got a 401k, they all have group insurance. Mm-hmm. So if a catastrophe happens, they've got money to do things. They've got money to fight diseases and things like this.
Yeah.
People who don't, then they could be in serious trouble if they don't have insurance, you know, if things can go wrong. But that's why people have to sell their life insurance policy. They don't have a 401k. They don't have all this backup. And when they get sick with cancer, they're calling us, they're calling someone, I need to sell my life insurance policy because, you know, I'm not going to be able to pay all this medical without it. And I know case after case lately of people that tell me about a friend of theirs that has cancer, what they're undergoing, how much it's costing, and how bad it can be.
Yeah.
You know, and the big hospitals charge a fortune, let me tell you. I know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just gets worse and worse what the charges are, and we don't even know if they're going to save you. You know, the lady that passed away 2 weeks ago, breast cancer, at 31 years old, alternate treatment again.
Wow.
I've been bidding policies this week, alternate treatment. And, you know, you cannot survive on alternate treatment. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, because all that does is it allows the cancer time to progress and get worse.
That's exactly what happens. The cancer gets worse. Your life is shortened. You're not going to be here as long as you had hoped. And if you do, you know, like I'm all for radiation or immunology. Chemo is so deadly and so horrible. I understand why people quit doing it. I can understand that. But it's the only thing we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Until they get something else, radiation, chemo, different places will make it where you won't suffer so much. But I happen to know a case where the person is suffering greatly. She's in the hospital, been in the hospital 2 weeks. They've given her so much chemo, her white blood count is down to almost zero.
Oh, wow. That's dangerous.
And she is quarantined. They can't afford to let anyone even near her. And I think if she'd went to a different place, different results would have happened. But sometimes people don't check every place out. they'll just go to the nearest place because they're a little bit lazy. They don't want to drive that extra 50 miles or 25 miles.
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, it's going to be their downfall. It's going to be their undoing, okay?
Exactly. Sometimes it takes, you know, and that's really the thing is when you're diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, that's the last thing you want to do is put more effort towards something because you just don't have the strength. You don't have the mental capacity. You're dealing with a lot. And so, you know, any chance to cut some corners on that is it can be good and it can be bad. It can be good for, you know, because you have to have that. You have to reserve your strength. You have to reserve your mental capacity. But oftentimes it takes that little extra push, that little extra mile. You may have to drive a little bit more, like you say, to get the better treatment. So it's a very difficult situation to be in, but people with stage 4 cancer are in a difficult situation. And that's how these policies come to you, is that somebody has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. We, like you talked about, we know that it's very expensive to treat it. And so people look for that fast way to come up with a large sum of money, and that's to sell their policy. And it's important to note that these are the only types of policies that you bid on. So if somebody has been in a car accident and needs to have some expensive procedure done, or if somebody has... I don't know, whatever the case may be, and they try to sell their policy, those are not the policies you're buying. There's other companies that do that, and that's fine, and that's great for them and the policyholder and all that. But you specifically focus on stage 4 cancer.
That's right. And that reminds me, they presented me this week with a lady that had cancer that was bedridden, but she was 84 years old. I said, I cannot believe you would have the guts to even send me an 84-year-old. I don't care what she's got. I'm not biting. I don't care. Take it away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were trying to sell me an 84-year-old that actually had cancer. I said, I don't care. You know, we can't do this. We're not going to do it. I said, we were bitten so bad on those other 84 and 90-year-olds a long time ago. I said, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
And they said, but it's a good policy. I said, not for us. It's not.
Yeah, because you got early on in the process, you got bit with some elderly policies that were in similar situations, and as it turns out, you know, it didn't pay off. It didn't end up being the profitable investment that you thought it was going to be. Partially, you got some bad information and things like that, but you have an age limit now, and so your guidelines for the policies that you bid on are very, very specific, and you don't go over, what is it, 74.
If they're over 74, we can't do it. And every provider that sells me policies knows this. You know, we've went over it time and time again. Faye, what are your requirements? It has to be cancer. It has to be stage 4. It cannot be in remission. If it's in remission, I know it'll come back, but it's not there right now, so it's too big a risk. We want it to be progressing. It has to be metastasized to other parts of the body.
Yeah.
And if it is, we know that they're not going to last long. We know that we'll be paid sooner, and that's what we have to do. We cannot take our eyes off the ball and do it a different way, which we've done before, and it didn't work out very well.
And that's exactly why it's your set of guidelines here. That's exactly why this type of investment is such a profitable investment, because of the policies that you're bidding on. Because, you know, the chances of it going on 10, 15, 20 years are very, 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 very small. They're so minute. You know, and you know, it's not like stage 1 or, like you say, in remission, where, you know, somebody, you know, it may come back, but it may not be for 3, 4, 5, 10 more years. And that's, you know, obviously we hope that they survive and they do very well and go on to live a wonderful life. But as far as the investment goes, the risk is too great, and you don't even bid on those. So that's what makes what you do so profitable and so attractive to so many people. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting, fun things to the table. If it's some Texas history, a place to visit, something we need to know about. So what's the topic this morning?
It is a convenience store that I think you've heard of. It's Boosie's, the largest convenience store in the world. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was the largest, no.
Well, let me tell you about it. How they got started. You know the little sign has the little beaver on it. You know that.
Uh-huh.
Had you thought about that? Is the little beaver?
I don't know that I paid even any attention. I see it, but I don't really think about it.
Yes, it's got a little beaver with a cap on the front of every store. Now, the co-founder says, the guy's name is Beaver Alpin and Don Wasick. They opened their first store in Lake Jackson in 1982. Now, here's how the name came about. It's pretty cute. They combined his childhood nickname, the name of his Labrador retriever, Buck, as well as the appeal of our Panda Toothpaste mascot, Bucky the Beaver. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Now, they opened the first travel center in Luling, Texas in 2001. Now, their pumps range from 80 to 120 pumps. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
They make their own beef jerky. Everybody's crazy about their beef jerky. They make their own pastries, sandwiches. But the biggest item for me is they make all this sugar-free candy.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. You just keep going all the way through the store. They also make their own barbecue sandwiches every morning.
Oh, my goodness.
They make all this stuff fresh every day. They have all kinds of hunting equipment in there. Everything in the world. And they have car washes. They have clothing. They've got just everything. These two old boys are pretty smart that started it. But in 2012, they opened the largest travel center in the world in New Braunfels, Texas, right there on 35. It has 68,000 square feet.
Holy smokes.
They have 120 fueling positions. They have 83 toilets, as they say. Not bathrooms, but toilets. 31 cash registers, 80 fountain dispensers.
Wow.
It has been named the best restroom in America.
Whew.
Can you believe that? Wow, the best bathrooms in America.
It makes me want to take a road trip just to use one.
That's right. And you need to go because everybody swears by that beef jerky they make every day. The barbecue sandwiches, some of my family will drive over there for that rather to the tried and true places.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. You're not kidding. Man, there is something to be said with not only making these things fresh every day, but when things are made, you know, like locally like that, I mean, that's just, there's nothing better in the world.
And they opened one out there across from the Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth.
Oh.
And then they've just now opened one in Denton, close to me. That's their third location. Now they're going to open something in Mobile, Alabama. They're going to open two, and I'm shocked because it's always been just a Texas company with these two old boys running it, and they're getting big. They're opening one in Melissa, Texas, right there on Highway 75. But it's just, everybody needs to go there and spend about an hour, 2 hours buying up all the candy, buying the beef jerky, buying the barbecue sandwiches. Everything is made right there in front of you. They're making it all the time. That's what I love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's always so fresh, too.
Oh, it's fresh. I mean, it's made, you know, every little bit during the day. They're making fresh barbecue sandwiches. They're making fresh macaroni salad. Everything is made. And then all this candy, as I'm talking about, and cookies they're making. Oh, my gosh. And sugar-free. And they make fudge by the gallons.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
Oh. You had to mention the fudge, didn't you?
Yes, I had to mention the fudge. It is wonderful, the things they do. And mentioning that, one of my clients for Valentine's Day sent me 2 pounds of chocolate candy that's to die for.
Oh,
oh
my
gosh.
Oh.
I want to thank Rick for that. It is wonderful. And I haven't eaten a lot of it because, you know, I'm not supposed to have sugar. But I did eat one, and it is delicious, simply
wow.
Delicious.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to candy, I'm a connoisseur.
Yeah, you lucky dog, you.
I do love good candy. But I love Boosie's because it's sugar-free.
Yeah. And then the items that they have for sale too. You know, it's like you put all the food together with you know the vastness and the bigness of the store itself, and then you put the items that they have for sale. It almost sounds like, and I'm just going to say this until you start talking about they branching out into Alabama, but it almost sounds like they have the key things for people who live a Texas lifestyle.
That is exactly right. That's why I'm shocked that they're going to go to Alabama, because it's always been these two boys and, you know, just a Texas tradition of the barbecue, the beef jerky, all the things Texan. But that's why it's so funny that they've got the huge ice coolers for the hunters in there. They've got everything for Texas hunters in there, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So it's just a fun store to go and take the whole family, because I guarantee you'll find something for everybody in there, whether it's candy, the cookies, the barbecue sandwiches. I just can't tell you how good it is. And once I started going there, my family is the one that introduced me to it, saying, "You've got to go get us some barbecue." And I go, "Really?" They said, "Yeah, go to Boosie's to get it for us." And that's what I did. And they had the potato salad fresh made. Oh, my gosh. We're going to be hungry after this.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry right now.
Yes, and there's not enough locations yet. But what is so wonderful about this place, when you go there, you can always get up to a gas station because they've got so many dadgum gas pumps.
Yeah.
You know, 120 gas pumps is a lot.
That'll serve a lot of people. You don't have to wait in line for that, I'm sure.
You do not have to wait in line for anything there. The times I've went in, I was laid down immediately. And they have cash registers at the front of each entrance. They've got them in the middle. I mean, they thought this thing through, where that you don't have to wait for anything. It's not like going to Walmart or anywhere like that. You walk in, you can get everything you want, and walk right to a cash register and walk back out.
You know, this is the kind of thing that the rest of the world does need to see. At first, I was like, "Well, yeah, I'm not sure." Like, you know, kind of like you, I'm not sure about moving to Alabama. But man, it takes somebody from Texas to come up with something like this, and it should be spread around the world. You know, let other people see how this should be done.
Well, and at the one in Mesquite, the big one they opened out there, they put animals in the backyard.
Really?
I love it. I think they've got a camel and several other exotic animals that they put out there.
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. They just put a bunch of animals out there for people to visit. You know, they thought of everything. The other places around that I've known don't have enough land to put animals in the back, but Mesquite, Texas did.
Wow.
So they put animals in the back. I know they've got a camel, and I don't even know what else, but I think they've got several exotic animals out there.
I have never heard such a thing before, but I'm intrigued.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I love the spine of the little beaver. I love how the beaver got its name, you know, that he took his golden retriever's name, the eye pan, a toothpaste mascot, and his nickname. That's pretty neat how they came up with Boosie's.
It is so brilliant. Yeah, you know, it's really cool when you hear, you know, stories like that, you know, to hear how something like this was able to come into fruition. You know, it's such a personal story. It's one of those things that really connects people, and it's like, oh, you're not just a big, huge corporation with, you know, no personality, no faces, you know, a big boardroom that nobody ever sees. No, you're actually people that you have a real story, and you have a real neat way of how you came about. I like that.
The best bathroom in America. I love that. 83 potties, folks. Oh, I never heard of such. 83. I've never heard of that. I mean, they're in the store in America that's got that many.
No, I've never heard. No, you'd have to go to 19 different stores to come up with 83 potties.
I know. So, it's again, you don't have to wait in line for anything at this place.
And my bet is, since there's so many and since they have been rated best, I'm betting that they're probably as clean as the day they were built.
I believe they are, because it was the best bathroom in America. They had to have been. Oh, and I didn't tell you what else they're going to do. You know, like when you're in line for things and the light says go, it's green.
Uh-huh.
They're going to put lights in all the bathrooms to tell you when that bathroom is available.
Really?
Yeah, just like Stop and Go. They're fixing to do that. That's their latest deal. They're going to put lights in the bathroom. This one's red, this one's green, go, you know. I love that.
They are revolutionizing how we live our life, I can tell you that.
They are, and they've thought of all the things that probably made them mad,
yeah.
Like waiting in line at the gas pumps, waiting for a bathroom, you know, waiting for a cashier, and they've taken care of all that.
Yeah.
You
that's
you don't have to wait for anything. You just go in there, and it's available. Everything's available.
Yeah.
And then having all that sugar-free candy, they were thinking good.
Yeah.
And all that fudge.
Ugh.
And I don't eat beef jerky, but I know a lot of people who love their beef jerky.
I bet you'll try some pretty soon.
Yeah, because they make it fresh. That's what I like. Everything is made fresh every day for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you
I just think that little beaver's so cute.
It is so cute. Wow. Well, I feel a road trip coming on pretty soon just to go to one of the 83 potties.
That's right. Do the one in New Braunfels because that's the biggest in the world. It is the biggest one, 68,000 feet. How big is that? Can you imagine?
Wow, that's just I can't even fathom.
I can't fathom a store with 120 pumps, 83 potties. I mean, it's just phenomenal how big that is.
You know, that's how some of the greatest inventions have come to life, is that people were solving a problem, and they sat in the round, and they said, hey, you know, I don't like this. Well, yeah, well, I don't like this either. And then we'll add to it, and they say, oh, that'd be great if we could only add fudge, or if we could add beef jerky, or if we could add, you know, barbecue sandwiches. And then it's just like, you know, they throw all these things in a pot and then just make it happen, and it's brilliant. It's wonderful. Wonderful story.
Well, what I think these two guys said, these are the things we love. Let's put this in. We love fudge. We love candy. We love barbecue. Everybody in Texas is a barbecue, expert. We all love our barbecue. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
But right there in the middle of the store, the guys are cutting barbecue every minute.
That is so cool. So cool.
I mean, it is cool.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And, by the way, we need one of those out here in West Texas. You know that.
Yeah, we do. We have plenty of land. Why not call somebody and have them make that happen?
Because, you know, you have to wait on everything here in Midland and Odessa because, I mean, you have to wait for everything. And if you had 120 gas pumps, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. It'd be a totally new life.
It'd be a new life, and instead of waiting everywhere you go, you just walk in there and get what you need and pay and leave.
Oh,
I love
cool.
That idea.
That is a really great idea. You need to call somebody and make that happen.
I will send them a note and say, why don't you do this? We could really use it in Midland, Odessa.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Goodness gracious. So we're talking about growing your wealth so you can retire. Now, here's the thing. People don't always plan on everything when they're thinking about how much they need to retire because, obviously, you want to have everything paid for. You want to have your house paid, your cars paid. You don't want to have credit card debt. You want to get all those things taken care of. People know that. However, once you get to retirement, there are things that could happen afterwards that people don't really realize, and so they don't plan for them, like emergencies. There are people who have retired who have had emergencies, whether it's an illness, a car accident, something happens with a family member, whatever the case may be. You have to have money saved up to take care of those things, because the last thing you want to do is have something happen that you didn't plan for, and all of a sudden it wipes you out. You got to go back to work at 75 or 80 years old. So there's things like emergencies that people don't necessarily plan for, but they need to.
That's right. If you don't plan, you could get a lot of surprises you're not going to be happy with.
Mm-hmm.
So we want everybody to be happy in retirement. We want them to never look back, you know, to have enough money that they're not having to borrow on their house. Look, why do you think they have reverse mortgages? It's because people have not done what they should have. They don't have the money for retirement, and here they are in a bind, and they're going to have to mortgage their house. My gosh. That's as bad as it gets.
That's a dangerous spot to be in. So you need to plan for all these things. So I know that you know, that, and everybody's situation is a little bit different, but there's a magic, an average number that people need to be looking at before they can retire. So where should people be wealth-wise when they retire?
Well, I always say you've got to have like $75,000 minimum a year to live on. And if you don't, I don't know how you're going to make it. We know you can't live on $50,000. If you thought of everything that it's going to take, you think of your car insurance, your house insurance, credit card debt. You can't live on $50,000.
Yeah.
You might could have years ago, but it would be really hard, to do it now.
Yeah.
So you have to think about what all of my bills are going to be that are going to still be going on after I retire.
And I can't tell you how many times I'll hear somebody say, well, we'll just cut back on this and we'll just cut back on that. Whoa, 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 that's dangerous. You don't want to go into retirement cutting back on things. That's not, you're it's almost like
that's
you're retiring.
That's not the way to live.
No, you're retiring on the defensive that way, and you don't want to do that. You want to make
You want to have enough money you can just go, right straight through.
Yeah. You want to make sure you've got the money to retire, to go places, to live your life, to go to a steak dinner, to travel, to whatever you want to do. You want to have the money there. You almost have to have the money there. It's we keep saying you want to have it there, but I think it's really more of a necessity rather than a luxury. You have to have the retirement money there. Now, to get there, this is something that takes several years. We talked about how this is a long-term plan to grow your money. So on average, and again, everybody's situation is unique and they're different. It depends on where they're starting, how much they've got in the bank, how many years they need to grow, how much they need to grow, and all that. But on average, what would you say that it would take? And I ask you this because I think this is what turns people around. It takes them from thinking, wow, I'll never do this. I'll never make this much money. It turns them around to realizing that this is doable. So how many years would you say on average it takes somebody to grow their money?
Well, 8 to 10 years. I would say 8 to 10 years. You've got to have that much time, depending on how much you're putting in. You may be putting $350,000, $500,000. If you're starting with $500 to a million, it's a lot easier. But if you're starting with $300,000, you can't retire on $300,000. I dare anyone to try to live out their life on $300,000.
Yeah, you go through
that. It isn't
going
to last. It's not enough. And if that is all you've got, you better get busy, investing this money, getting it up to where you're going to be happy when you do retire. If you've only got 2 years to retirement, you've got to put that money in something now and keep investing it year after year to keep the interest where you can survive. If you've got interest income enough, you can always make it. If you have no interest income and you're taking it out of your principal, the principal will be dissipated in a very short time.
Oh, yeah. You'll start hemorrhaging money, and before you know it, you're starting to make plans to go back to work at 85 or 75 even.
Yeah, in 6 years, $300,000 will be gone.
Wow.
And what do you live on then? Social Security isn't going to get it.
No.
Social Security might not be, but $27,000 or $30,000, that's not, you can't live on that. That won't even pay your insurance on your house, your insurance on your cars, your pickups, everything else. So you've got to think about everything you're paying now, you'll still be paying it when you retire.
Exactly.
Insurance and taxes. You have to pay insurance on your house, insurance on your cars and pickups, taxes, food. I mean, you got to think about this, and you're going to want to travel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think the thing that the main takeaway here is that, yes, it takes a lot of money to retire comfortably, to make sure that you've got money put back for emergencies, to do all the things that you're going to have to do. But the point is that, yes, this is doable. This is something that is going to take a few years, but you have to get started. And once you get started, the process from then out is super duper easy. So what does it take to be involved? I know that you have to be accredited. So what does that mean?
You must be accredited. That's what the rules say. You must be making $200,000, including bonuses, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. You cannot count your main residence. You can count a lake house, you can count your ranch, your cattle, your 401k, your IRAs, your old 401ks. You can add all that up, or you can just go with your salary and bonuses.
Cool. All right. So people need to get this money, this information together, find out what's where. Even if people just want to come in and get some just general information, maybe they have some questions. Maybe they say, hey, I'm not accredited, but I know there's other options. They can come in and talk to you about that as well. So the point is that people have to get started, and you have availability for some appointments this coming week, right?
That's right. You know, we're pretty busy, but yes, we'll take some people, try to help them, and then come in and talk to us, see what they think. If this is for them, we'd love to have them.
Perfect. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number so people can call and make an appointment to come see you?
It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.